Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, text number 28. Yes. Shadvargas Samyamaikanta Sarvaniyama Chodana Tad Anta Yarino Yogan Avaheyu Shramavaha. Shadvarga, the six elements, namely the five working senses and the mind. Samyama Ekanta, the ultimate aim of subjugating. Sarva, all such activities. Niyama Chodana, the regulated principles. Further meant for controlling the senses and mind. Tad Anta, the ultimate goal of such activities. Yadi, if, no, not, Yogan, the positive link with the Supreme. Avaheyu, did lead to. Shravana Avaha, a waste of time and labor. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami the Prabhupada. Ritualistic ceremonies, regulated principles, austerities, and the practice of yoga are all meant to control the senses and mind. But even after one is able to control the senses and mind, if he does not come to the point of meditation upon the Supreme Lord, all such activities are simply labor and frustration. Purport. One may argue that one may achieve the ultimate goal of life, realization of the Supersoul, by practicing the yoga system and ritualistic performances according to the Vedic principles, even without staunch devotion to the spiritual master. The actual fact, however, is that by practicing yoga, one may come to the platform of meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in the scriptures. Dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa pashanti yam yoginaha. Person in meditation achieves the perfection of yoga practice when he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By various practices, one may come to the point of controlling the senses. But simply controlling the senses does not bring one to a substantial conclusion. However, by staunch faith in the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one may not only control the senses, but also realizes the Supreme Lord. Yasya deva para bhaktir, tata deve tata guru. Tasyaite kahita yadartha prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of the Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Shweta Sutara Upanishad 6:23. It's further stated, Tusheyam sarva bhutatma guru shushraya Shru Shru Shaya and Tarant Yagyo Bavar Navaham. Simply by rendering service to the spiritual master, one crosses the ocean nations and returns home back to Godhead. Thus he gradually sees the Supreme Lord face to face and enjoys life in association with the Lord. The ultimate goal of yoga is to come in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless this point is achieved, one's so-called yoga practice is simply labor without any benefit. Shadvarga samyamaikanta sarva niyama chodana tad anta yarino yogan avaheyu samshrama vaha. Ritualistic ceremonies, regular principles, austerities, the practice of yoga are all meant to control the senses and mind. But even after one is able to control the senses and mind, if he does not come to the point of meditation upon the Supreme Lord, all such activities are simply labor and frustration. There are different steps on the path of yoga, known as karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, and bhakti yoga. And these are explained in different ways in different parts of the Vedic literature. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yesham antikatam papam janana punya karmanam te dvanva moha nirmuktva bhajante mam dridavritaha. That those who practice the regular principles of freedom, or we could say, Yesham antikatam papam, those who have become free from their previous sinful activities, janana punya karmanam, who are engaged in pious activities, te dvanva moha nirmuktva, they become free from the dualities of delusion and they engage in my service, dridavrataha, with determination. So that determined service brings one to the platform of realizing Krishna. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he practiced to become determined because we have to practice determination. Because he was very much interested in getting something. First of all, he was in Satyuga. Children in Satyuga were not distracted by so many things. They didn't think they had many, many options in life. So Dhruva, of course, we know he was sitting on the lap of his father, and his stepmother told him he couldn't do that because he wasn't born of her womb. And so Dhruva Maharaj, on the advice of his mother, went into the forest to find Krishna. And he was so much determined to find Krishna that Krishna sent Narada Muni to him. And Narada Muni, to test his disciple, said, my dear Dhruva, you're only 5 years old. Maybe it would be better that you go home, and then when you get a little older, then you could try for self-realization to find Krishna. So Dhruva Maharaj said, no, I'm going to find Krishna, because that's the only way I can get a kingdom greater than that of my great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. Krishna can give it to me. So if anyone wants to go home, you can go home. I'm going to stay here in the forest and find Krishna, Vrindavan specifically. So Narada Muni was impressed that this is a boy. He actually is strongly determined, and he gave him some instructions. Now the same instructions are there. Any bona fide spiritual master will give instructions. It's not that to become, as Prabhupada said, to become a bona fide spiritual master is difficult. It's actually quite simple. You just give the same instructions that your bona fide spiritual master gave in disciple succession, and they're all quite the same to help us come to the platform of remembering Krishna. Now, if there are other instructions that don't help us or provide the opportunity, some advance or some help in remembering Krishna, then these will not be very effective. For instance, in order to keep the body and the soul together, requires some health. So something should be there. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives some instructions about regulation. He says the yogi doesn't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. He doesn't talk about modern medicine, taking this drug and that drug and this whatever. He just talks about regulating diet, regulating sleep, regulating one's life, so that getting clean air, fresh water, patram pushpam palam toyam. So the spiritual master gives the instructions mainly about how we can always think about Krishna and never forget him. As it says in the Padma Purana, Smarta vyaksadatam vishnur bismarta jatu na kinchit sarva vidi nisedyasyur etihar eva kinkara. That all the rules and regulations of all the Vedas, smarta vyaksadatam vishnur, this, the vidi, what we're supposed to do, according to all the Vedic literature, is always remember Krishna. And Smarta Vyaksadatam Vishnur Vismartak. Never forget him. Vismartak. Chattu Nakinchet. At any moment. Sarva Nidhi. So the Sarva Vidhi Nisedya Asur. So the Vidhis is what we're supposed to do. Always remember Krishna. And the Nishedyar, Nishedra, is we should never forget him. And the, all the other rules and regulations throughout all the Vedic literature are only meant to help us do these two things. Sarva Vidhi Nisedya Asur. Etayor, these two, Etayor, Eva Kinkara, everything else is a servant. So Dhruva Maharaj was in the forest, and his spiritual master told him to make a deity. He didn't tell him to go to Loy Bazaar and get a deity, buy one. He said, just make whatever deity you can in the form of Krishna, and chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and bathe in the Jamuna, and in that way become purified and try to think about Krishna. So in the first month, he was determined enough, he only ate some kapita fruits every third day. And the second month, he only drank some water, only ate leaves that fell from the tree, every sixth day. And the third month, while he was chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, meditating on the deity that he had created, and bathing in the Jamuna, he only drank a little water every ninth day. And then on the fourth month, he only took a breath of air every 12th day. And by the sixth month, he had stopped all his breathing, closed all the doors of his senses, and simply meditated upon Krishna. It wasn't that he was just fasting or reducing his breathing even, just for the sake of showing how powerful he was. He did it so he could concentrate completely upon Krishna. Because breathing is another type of eating. Drinking water is another type of eating. What to speak of food. And these things are sometimes distracting if one is trying to fully meditate upon Krishna. So at the end, he practiced determination to the point where he didn't have to breathe anymore. And he could stand on one leg, meditating upon Krishna. And therefore he perfectly focused his mind completely upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so much so that he became practically one in existence with Krishna. So when he pressed his foot down in the earth, it caved in. And when he stopped breathing, all the universe became breathless. Even the demigods had to go to Lord Brahma and complain that Dhruva Maharaj is going through such austerities that now he stopped his breathing and we can't breathe either. The example is given that if you're riding in an airplane, you're going 700 kilometers an hour sometimes. If you walk down the street, you can't go that fast. But if you identify yourself with the airplane, then you can go fast. Fast as the airplane. So one who's completely identified with Krishna, they become like Krishna. They don't become Krishna, but because they've identified themselves with Krishna, and Krishna is there in that identification, in that meditation, Krishna is factually there, therefore they become as heavy as Krishna is, because Krishna is there. And so if they press their foot against the earth, then the earth feels Krishna's pressure. So this is an example, but it's an example of determination. All the devotees who've become successful have become determined. So generally determination in the material world starts with becoming religious. Religious means controlling the senses. What is controlling the senses? Sometimes we think controlling the senses means, sometimes in India they have people putting their hand up for 20 years and they never move it, although it's deteriorating. But they show I'm controlling my senses, I don't move it. Till it falls off. That's not what control of the senses. Controlling the senses means austerity, cleanliness, truthfulness, and mercy. These are the primary religious principles, which are destroyed by meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex. So one begins life, religious life, progress towards spiritual life by becoming religious. Therefore, in the Veda culture, Dharma is the first principle for Purushartha, for a person to learn religiosity. And therefore, one goes to the Gurukul to learn religiosity, to learn how to economically develop, to enjoy the senses, what is necessary, so that one can gradually go towards liberation. What's necessary for one person will be completely different from another person. But by practice and by training, one can reduce the necessities of the material body, of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, to the point where one will not become disturbed by any of them. And that means that one simultaneously, as we're practicing, utilizing the senses in Krishna's service, then we also have to utilize our mind to think about Krishna. It's not only a question of doing things, it's also a question of becoming conscious of Krishna, experiencing Krishna. Otherwise, the control of the senses, it says here, will not be very advantageous. Just by practicing religious principles and not thinking about Krishna will not bring one to the actual goal of life. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mama nusmara yudhita mayarpita mano buddhira mami vaishetya samshaya. Therefore, O Arjuna, you should think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time, you should carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your mind and intelligence fixed on me, and everything engaged in me, you'll attain to me without doubt. So unless we get that experience of Krishna consciousness, of actually being conscious of Krishna, just by controlling the senses, will not inspire us to keep on just controlling the senses. Therefore, the next step in religious process is to do something positive in the mode of goodness, not just be religious, but to be pious, not just refrain from sinful activities, but to do something pious. So therefore in the Varnashram system, the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas especially, and even the Vaishyas, to some extent or another, perform pious activities. The Vaishyas by protecting the cows, the Kshatriyas by protecting the citizens, and the Brahmins by giving spiritual guidance, how to protect the cows, the citizens, and how to make advancement towards spiritual life. But that's not sufficient for self-realization. So therefore, although one may stop sinful activities, one at the same time has to act piously, and then one has to control sinful reactions. So what is controlling sinful reactions? Is that our very existence is a sinful reaction. The very existence in the material world means that we're suffering what's called parabdha karma, sinful reaction. So what does it mean controlling it? It means that one has to tolerate the dualities of material existence. Sometimes we'll be in a position which we judge to be happy, pleasant, and sometimes we'll be in a position which we'll judge to be unhappy or unpleasant. And therefore, generally speaking, when we're in a position of happiness, then we try to enjoy it. We kick back, peel the grape and pop it in our mouth, say everything is fantastic, bring on another grape. And when things go bad, we think, why is Krishna so unkind? I'm such a wonderful servant of his. Why is he giving misery? He should be giving me happiness. So tolerate, because that's the material energy. There can't be perfect happiness here, nor there will be absolute distress. But tolerate means to tolerate externally what's going on, and at the same time think about Krishna internally. At least keep on chanting Hare Krishna in spite of whatever good or bad comes. Dukeshu vamanagmanak, sukeshu vigatas priha, vita raga vaya krodha, Sitidhira Muni Uchite, one who's not disturbed in spite of the threefold miseries. It's easy to say, well, I'm not disturbed now because there's not so much misery. But if it a little bit more, then immediately we become disturbed. I was peaceful, because we're never peaceful. But I was more peaceful yesterday than I am today, and now I'm disturbed. And now I must make some remedy to get rid of my disturbance. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemies will be killed. I'm the Lord of everything. I'm perfect, powerful, and happy. So, one has to tolerate the distress and the material miseries and think of Krishna at the same time. That's the test. That's like we fast on certain days, not just to fast, but we fast on Ekadasi, for instance, or Janmasthami, so that we can concentrate our mind more upon Krishna. It's not to show how valiant we are, that we're fasting and we're suffering for Krishna. The idea is not to suffer for Krishna. The idea is to tolerate some inconvenience and at the same time think about Krishna, and then it won't be seen as an inconvenience. If by this inconvenience we're able to focus our mind more upon Krishna, then it becomes a great blessing. Just as Queen Kunti said, Vipadak shantu takshasva tatra tatra jagat guru bhavatad darshanam nyasyat apana bhavadarshanam. I wish that we can see these calamities, and there were many in their lives of the Pandavas and Queen Kunti, again and again. Because by whenever there's a calamity, we think about you, we see you, and by seeing you, there'll be no more seeing a repeated birth and death. So therefore she was welcoming calamities, because these calamities helped her think about Krishna. On the other hand, she says if you're interested in material progress and wealth, material education, bodily beauty, material influence, then that, if you're actually anxious for these things, that this is a great obstacle for spiritual advancement. Everyone wants something good in the material world. Everyone's trying to avoid something bad, but anxiously endeavoring to get something so-called good in the material world, in terms of material opulence, simply intoxicates one. Well, as Prabhupada said, we're already intoxicated by our material identification. We may not realize we're intoxicated, but actually we're intoxicated. And if we try to increase that intoxication by increasing it through getting more material education, more material bodily beauty, or material wealth, material position, then the result is we become pramadak. We become mad. It's one thing to be intoxicated. After a while, the intoxication can wear off if you stop the intoxication. But if you become mad, crazy, then it's very hard to get free from being mad. Matter of fact, you don't even think you're mad. You think everyone else is mad. And you're the only sane person around. Therefore, one should try to tolerate and think about Krishna. And then by doing that, by actually experiencing Krishna, the heart becomes purified in the ecstasy of pure devotional service. And as the heart becomes purified, then one can actually see things as they are. Namely, one can see everyone and everything in relationship to Krishna. And therefore constantly have Krishna's association. And Maya will not drag away our intelligence anymore, so that we can constantly see Krishna. Or as Krishna says, sarabhutastam atmanam, sarabhutani chatmani, ikshite yoga yukta atma, sarvatra samadarshana. That the true yogi observes me in all beings, and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. So after tolerating, then we can actually begin real devotional service, pure devotional service, not motivated by gain, what we want to get, hoping Krishna will give us something we don't have, or asking Krishna to take something away from us that we don't want. One becomes indifferent from these things, from one's material situation, and therefore one can actually do things purely to please Krishna rather than to get some material remuneration from it. Then one can meditate entrance upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which, as it says here, is the perfection of life. That one can always be deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Just like Prabhupada, when he came to Vrindavan in 1975, the devotees there were constructing the Krishna Balaram temple, and they were telling Prabhupada it's almost ready. And so Prabhupada invited so many dignitaries from so many different parts of India, invited all the leaders in ISKCON to come for the opening in Gaur Purnim of the Krishna Balaram temple. The invitations were sent out, the devotees bought the airplane tickets, and Prabhupada arrived in Vrindavan to find a construction site. Nothing was ready. It was only bags of cement and half completed, his rooms were half completed. So Prabhupada was furious. And for a long time, for some time, Prabhupada was demonstrating his anger at the devotees who had misled him and caused so much inconvenience to so many other devotees around the world. So the devotees, Prabhupada's fury was such, as he displayed it, he was like Nrisimhadev, the devotees were actually hiding behind the stones, trying to avoid Prabhupada's glance. In any case, Prabhupada went into his room, half-completed room, sat down, and one devotee had to tell something to Prabhupada and went in and found Prabhupada completely calm and transcendental. So he was wondering and said, Prabhupada, one moment you were furious and now you seem completely calm and transcendental. How is it possible? So Prabhupada said, a pure devotee, internally deep, like in the ocean, everything is very calm and undisturbed by what's going on the surface of the ocean. On the surface of the ocean, there may be so many waves, there may be so many storms coming up, thunder, lightning, rain, cyclones, whatever is going on. But deep inside in the ocean, the aquatic animals are undisturbed by what's going on in the surface. So a pure devotee, he may do something externally in order to serve his spiritual master in Krishna, but internally he's always meditating deeply upon Krishna, and therefore he's undisturbed by whatever's going on externally. So that's our goal, is to come to that platform. By the practice, there's a process of training. It's not that one day you just sit down, you think, today I'm just going to think about Krishna deeply, whatever happens, I'm not going to worry about it. No, it's a practice of purification of the heart and meditation, practicing, thinking about Krishna. So one day it becomes spontaneous like that. So again, we have to start by becoming religious, mentally giving up sinful activities also. Not that I'm a great brahmachari. Externally, I'm completely renounced, but internally I'm a great Romeo. No one has to give up those thoughts too, and then try to act piously. Act in such a way, the most pious activity, of course, is chanting Hare Krishna and serving the deities. This is our piety for this age. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, serving the deities, serving the devotees, and living in a holy place. These are pious activities for the conditioned soul. And then we have to practice tolerance. So we come here and we have to tolerate. We have to tolerate our relationships with other devotees. We have to tolerate the circumstances of the weather, so much tolerance, and at the same time try to remember Krishna constantly. Practice chanting Hare Krishna, not only 16 rounds, but throughout the day as much as possible. Remember Krishna. And then we have to accept pure devotional service, that I'm actually doing this activity to please Krishna. Then one will naturally think about Krishna, and as one naturally thinks about Krishna, then one can actually rise up to the platform of understanding Krishna in truth. And as we understand how nice Krishna is, how he's all his wonderful qualities, then we'll fall in love with Krishna and naturally we'll meditate and trance upon him. So there's a process, wherever we're at in the process, we can keep on practicing and then we can know where we're trying to advance and eventually get there. And then advance further till we come to the perfection of spontaneous love for Krishna. And then there's no more problems. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
So we have our Avadhuta Rai Prabhu. Please accept my humble obeisances, Hare Krishna. Some say when the guru is angry on the disciple that it is his mercy. And when he gives a sweet to the disciples, that is also his mercy. What actually means to get mercy?
The ultimate mercy, the benediction, is to get the instructions from Krishna's representatives so that we make advancement in Krishna consciousness. As it says that Brahmande Brahmate Kon Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. After wandering throughout the whole universe, up and down, if one fortunately comes in contact with a bona fide representative of Krishna, then he gets to see the Bhakti Lata Beach, a pure devotional service. And if he cultivates that, then it sprouts into eventually love for Krishna. So that seed is the instructions coming through the simple succession. So that's the mercy.
One more. You said to be religious means to control the senses, but I know many people who are religious so that they can better enjoy life. Christianity have this philosophy, for example. What do you think about this?
Well, if they're religious in order to better control enjoy life, then they're controlling their senses to that extent. Real control of the senses to engage them completely in the service of Krishna under Krishna's direction. Because Krishna is the Rishikesha. But if you follow Krishna's instructions to a certain extent, then you're controlling your senses up to that point, where Krishna is controlling your senses. You have agreed to let Krishna control your senses up to that point and engage them in some kind of activity which is favorable for Krishna towards Krishna consciousness. So there are different degrees. But, as it says, that if you go, the vulture goes high into the sky, but if its ultimate aim is looking for a dead body, then its going high in the sky has no real meaning. Therefore, one should be conscious of what Krishna is intending. Otherwise, one may control the senses for some time. Is yasti bhakti or bhagavata kinchina. Savara gunas tatra samasite sura haravaktasi kato mahagunan manorate nasati davato bahi. One may seemingly be a gentleman in controlling the senses, but if his aim is sense gratification, then he's hovering on the mental platform and eventually he'll fall down. But if he's actually doing it to please God, as a servant of God, then he'll make some advancement in spiritual life. So, we're not just controlling the senses like Aranyakashipu, and even if you're religious, one should not control the senses simply for the sake of getting something. But if the aim is controlling the senses, get something from Krishna, that's alright, because at least one will remember Krishna. And to that extent, one will remember him. And therefore, Chatura Vida Bhajante Mam, Janasikita Arjuna. So there are people who are approaching Krishna out of distress, or out of material gain, and they're also considered pious. Their activity is positive because at least they're approaching the right person, Krishna, for it. Anything else? Okay, yes.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that we should serve our spiritual master to achieve the goal of life, the self-realization. Does that mean that we should physically associate with our guru as much as possible, or we can follow the instructions?
Depends on what your position is. Now, following the instructions is the ultimate goal, but we have to practice too, following the instructions. So it's good that someone, you know, watches what we're doing and then gives us some tips or some instructions so we can do it better. Just to theoretically serve the instructions coming down to simple succession, we have to also have some guides, whether directly, whoever the initiating spiritual master or the instructing spiritual masters should look after our activities and guide us at the same time, so we learn how to improve following the instructions. And we get to understand what the instructions are more clearly and how to apply them more expertly.
Thank you.
All right. Kwala Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.